Up From Here podcast, DJ Spot, I'm here. Boom, 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 boom.
I think my favorite story of yours is probably the 1 o'clock riddle. Let's get into my favorite song. I have to hear about Down Day because
every island has its niche. Every genre has its niche.
Yeah.
And if we want to play the sport, I would say the music sport,
yeah. We
got to make soca super universal.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Busby, and from the time you hear the voice, you know it's only Up From Here. It's the Up From Here podcast, and today, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by a legend in the soca business. And when I say legend, when we think of all of our favorite soca songs, when we see these music videos, oftentimes you only see the artist and you don't get a full impression of what it took to make the record you love so much. And a very critical component behind the records you love are the producers. And we have literally one of the best in the business here with us today. We're in Tampa, Florida. We're both booked on some shows out here. And the beautiful people at the Chic Beauty team, the family, has set this up and made sure that we could sit down and kick it and get your story out there. Now, before I introduce who our special guest is, for those of you that don't know already, this is a DJ, producer, and writer, but the producer of the following hit records. We have the 1 o'clock riddle. That's right. Bam Bim. We had Tick Off Something. All of them. We have the Bajans. Listen up. Dibby in a Fent. Versi Wild. We have the Whistle and Drum Rhythm. The Jollof Rice Rhythm. One of the sweetest. And my personal favorite. On the whole list. My personal favorite. Down Day.
Oh, that's everybody's personal.
Everybody's favorite. Personal.
But before that, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not done that yet. Was great. Yeah, the interview done already. Yeah. That was great. That was excellent. Can I have that piece?
Absolutely.
Just to mark it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll clip it all up and send it to you. You good. Ladies and gentlemen, again, a legend, a monster in the soca business. We have none other than DJ Spider.
What's up, Buzz?
Good, bro. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah, man.
We have a lot to talk about. And as I said, the names of the songs I mentioned, first of all, is not even touching your whole catalog.
It's a lot.
Right?
Some of them I can't even remember.
That should say something. But the fact
but
that...
But not in a bad way. That's
exactly.
Yeah. Down right.
But the fact the majority of you guys could sit and say, okay, what are my top five soca records? And I guarantee majority of you listening to this, before you even knew who produced what, one of those songs I mentioned is in your top five. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
I could guarantee that. So we're going to get into the mind behind those songs. Now, I think my favorite story of yours is probably the 1 o'clock riddle.
Okay.
My favorite. So I need everybody to know, first of all, why you call it that and the all jazz right. behind that.
So this is the original story. So XL, he was a comedian.
Mm.
He actually called me for a beat.
Right.
So I made the beat. And he called like 12 o'clock.
Wow.
And I made the beat by
1 o'clock. Wow.
And then I sent it to him because he was so viral with the comedian. You know, he was doing a lot of these skits.
Right, right, right.
So with him doing that, I said, you know what? I need to get him a beat now. Now, I already had the skeleton of the beat.
Yeah.
You understand? So I have a lot of skeletons in the in the laptop.
Yeah.
So it's not fully done yet.
Got you.
But when he called, I said, this one, let me.
Yeah, you tweaked it.
Yeah, let me touch it up. And once I touch it up, I sent it to him. But I sent it to him. Put that bump up on me. Put that bump up on me. Yeah. Don't move. Put that bump up on me. Put that bump up on me. So when he was like, he was like, that's it. So he took that song.
Yeah.
And then I sent it out to I don't know if I'm going too deep into rhythm, right?
We need to know this, yeah?
No, so I sent it out to all the other artists, and then everybody just went crazy. This is one of the rhythms. You know, you have rhythms that some people be like, oh, they dance around.
Yeah.
This one, everybody was sending back.
Immediately.
Mm. Immediately. So it was just a good vibe with that one.
So even something I learned about the production of the 1 o'clock rhythm was their knowledge of the space where the song was concerned and them knowing, okay, like, we got this.
Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah, because I was concerned about the two songs.
Right.
One from Stiffy.
Stiffy, yeah.
Very concerned because I just didn't understand it. And of course, Marzo, he'll tell you. I said, Marzo, what is this?
Yeah.
So those were the two songs I was concerned about. Gotcha. And those were the two
monsters.
Yeah.
That's what's still so plays till today.
Right. So if you have a Bajan set,
yeah,
the DJs is going to go for a specific set of records.
Yeah.
With Barbados stamp. To
say,
big up all the Bajans.
Yeah.
And then gonna play. You gotta play that.
Mm.
It's just one of those. As a DJ, yeah, you know, but it's one of those you have to play in a set. So
especially when the ladies are out.
But guess what? I did not know it would do that.
Mm.
So I said, Mars, what is this? Wow. He said, Spider, I'm in a room full of youngsters.
Hmm.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Wow.
And as you can see, the video, everything, it's all the elements.
That's incredible.
Is in the record. Stiffy won the Bashment Soca competition with Tech Off Something.
Wow.
So that goes to show you, they knew the space.
Exactly.
I just knew what I knew.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew.
But that, see, and there's two important takeaways, right? The match made in heaven, so to speak. That's one, but I think the more important component is you not being strong-minded to say, I don't think that's right, because you don't understand it. When somebody else takes it and knows the value in it, you run with that and put your pride aside or your feelings of the record or whatever the case is aside for the bigger picture.
But trust me, it was a fight.
Yeah?
It was a fight.
Wow.
But, again, producer-artist relationship.
Yeah.
You have to find the middle ground.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to trust you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's all I had to say. I'm going to trust you on this one.
You rolled the
Sometimes
dice.
Sometimes you have to trust me on this one. So that's the producer artist relationship that you have to have.
Amazing.
So,
but again, if you didn't say okay, we might not have had those records today. And imagine that.
Almost how much? I mean, you did your research. How much views? Is that Bang Bang on... Over 20?
It's crazy.
Million, I think.
Now, yes, we talked about the 1 o'clock rhythm. I definitely want to get into some of your other songs.
Right.
But before we go too far, I love your take and perspective on what Bashment is, right?
Oh, man.
And I know, everybody could have a different impression of what soca is or whatever the case.
Right.
But your take on it, what is Bashment soca?
So, Bashment, years ago, there's a lot of conversation about Bashment and what it is, because you know every island has their thing,
right?
Like Trinidad came up and they have Zest now, right?
Mm.
St. Lucia has Denery.
Yeah,
everybody has their little piece of something.
Mm-hmm.
So Bashment, there was a group. To be honest, I feel like Bashment came from a group called Mad. In Barbados.
Yeah.
This is years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The style of music, they used to do back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Bajans love old dub.
Mm.
Old dub.
Yeah.
So if you play old dub, and you fuse it with soca,
right,
then you start having that.
That's the Bashment.
You need it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it has to be old dub. You know what I mean? That Pokemon Jam rhythm.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The high chords in them, yeah.
And then you got a dum-dum. Once you got that dum-dum.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bass. I got my bass line and I learned it from Peter Coppin.
Yeah.
I can say this here. Mm. I studied that, man.
Wow.
So earlier today I was talking with Kay. Kay's,
Kay's
in the building.
Yeah, big okay.
Get big okay, you know, we gotta big you up. And I was telling Kay, that you you have to learn from. Everybody is learning from somebody. So I was like the kid in you know, in the basement, studying somebody for years. I was telling Mars, where I said, Mars, I have to get my bass line to sound like Peter Coppins. If I get that, I got him. He was my push.
Wow.
He didn't know it until I told him years later.
Yeah.
But I studied him to try to beat him.
Wow.
Not in a competition.
Yeah, healthy competition.
Buzz, we are DJs.
Yeah.
We and you could talk nice here, but when we go on and perform, it's me versus you on that stage, but not in a negative way, you know.
Let's both try and rock the crowd.
Let's rock the crowd.
Yeah.
And then after?
Daps.
But him, Peter Coppin, the way he made his bass line, that's why I was finally able to get it with 1 o'clock.
Wow.
Because I tried for years. That's why I said I have records out for a long time.
Yeah.
It was the 1 o'clock rhythm because Peter Coppin has, he puts his 808s differently.
Right.
And then also the bass line go boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. So you really pick apart the song,
right,
study it.
I picked apart the bass.
Wow.
And if I could catch the bass line, because in Barbados, if you have a hard bass, you win. Because we all deal with the trucks.
Yeah.
So it's just what Bashment is. Is unique.
Yeah.
All dub,
with
soca,
right? And we coming from the 1 o'clock rhythm. That conversation, and it's important to know even what Bashment is before we start talking about the 1 o'clock rhythm.
Right.
Now, just to go back to that quickly before we change gears, the 1 o'clock rhythm. You know when a rhythm's big or when a song is big. You know, as a DJ, you have now 25, 30 road mix, remix, refix. I think my favorite one from that whole scene had to have been Puffy's.
Yes, Puffy.
That was the best one.
Yeah, and then Puff, that's why he said, you know, you had to call me in the very intro, right?
Yeah.
So Puffy called me and said, yo, I need the stems.
Yeah.
And I sent them the stems one time because he's Puffy, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And his reach is totally different, you know? So I sent them in one time and it went crazy. And that's the only one, and that's the one I play.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. You don't even play your
own. I don't even play my version, I play his version, but because it just hit different.
Yeah.
You know?
So would you say that was your breakout rhythm? Or you had something more significant before that?
Yes. I would say Dibbing Effect, because Dibbing Effect came first.
Right, got you.
That's the scab out rhythm.
Yes.
So that one was the rhythm actually that people in Barbados, I would say, because Dibbing Effect actually went to Trinidad and different islands,
right.
So it was that record first, I would say.
Yeah. But massively.
On a large scale, it was Bang Bim.
Amazing.
Bang Bim, hands down.
Amazing. So we started at that because those are very cool stories and things that people need to know before we really get into the juice of the podcast. So for you now, you just brought up being the kid in the basement and doing those. Let's talk about your rise as DJ Spider. Now, I know everybody would know you now as a stamped soca producer, DJ, writer. But back then, you were just telling me stories of a whole different ballpark. You were... talk about your come up.
So I was DJing years ago. You know, I started out in high school. There was you promoters that booked me. I used to do a lot of backyard parties. Then from high school, went on to college. That's where things went crazy.
Right.
I became a college club kings, right? But I was DJ Spider in college. I would do all the big college events. It was so huge. Like, when I would go and play, it would be motorcades of cars. So you can imagine, you put my flyer on a campus, and cars, everybody on campus would motorcade and jump in cars and drive up to Stony Brook, drive up to Binghamton, drive up to Old Westbury, CW Post. Any crazy college in up that side?
Yeah.
That was it. All the SUNY, CUNY, that was it.
Wow.
I mean,
so you're running that
really circuit. It was really a situation.
Yeah.
And I need to actually do a sit down with some of the other DJs, and we need to really talk about this experience, because a lot of people don't know it, because I took off with the producing that they forgot.
About the other stuff, right?
Yeah. So, you know.
So let's get a little more into that, because that's a space that people may want to get into as well. Talk about some of the challenges you faced in that college circuit. And even, like, more specifically, you're saying it's a big deal, but what were some of the numbers that you saw out there in the crowds?
There were no challenges in the college circuit.
No?
I was that guy.
Wow.
I can say it, and nobody will have nothing to say. I was that guy in the college circuit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm still, put it like this, today I'm still marrying, like, DJing the weddings of half the people that I played for in my college days.
So how does it make you feel, especially when you're not on platforms like this as often, and your new thing's blown up, but the old thing you worked so hard on and you was the boss, and you kind of just, you're in a new space now. How does that make you feel?
You know what it is? You know what it is? You give the people what they want. And at that point, if you want me as a producer and you see me as a producer, look at my numbers and my streams. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can... I'll give you that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
At this point, DJ Buzz, what do people know you for?
DJ.
DJ, but what else?
Podcasting, the DJ Network.
YouTube, right.
That's another crazy thing. You said you saw me on that
I saw you on that first.
The DJ Network. That's crazy.
So what I'm trying to say, you're going to give the people what they actually want. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening with me right now. Yeah. Whatever you want, I'm going to supply for you.
That's amazing.
It's supply and demand.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk in the writing component, the producing component, and you being a DJ, how do you think DJing helps those other things?
Because we know what the people want. We kind of have a different ear than the average writer and average producer and engineer. Most of them stay home. We are outside.
You have to be outside.
So a lot of the time, I went out last night just to sit down and hear.
The ground, like what's going on.
What's going on, so I could get an energy of Tampa. I just wanted to feel the energy of Tampa before I play.
Yep, that's how it's done.
So I go a day before, hear the vibes, see, and I go to any spot that's happening just to get educated. That's it. I still do that. Yeah. And then I would go home and make a beat.
Wow. Now, one thing I've learned from studying what you do is you might be different than the average producer when they're in that space. And when you're in your studio space, talk about that. Because I know you say you're a madman when it comes to making these beats. So what kind of zone do you have to get in to do this?
I don't want nobody there.
Wow.
99% of the time, I'm by myself.
Say what?
I do not want any noise. Meaning that I don't want no other person around.
Right.
Because it's me and that beat. After that, I'm very, very I would like to say a lot of my stuff is very spiritual too. Like if I don't feel like the people could feel that, I'm just gonna sit it down. I'm gonna park it. So I have a lot of parked stuff.
Yeah.
What happens now? I may play that same record that I was working on, and bring it out like 5-6 years later.
Might be the time for it.
Might be the time. Like I could say this real quickly. Like Cruise Ship Rhythm, I had since what is it? It's 2024 now, right? I had that since 2022 or 2021.
Wow.
And I just dropped it. I wrote two songs on the rhythm.
Yeah.
And I just dropped it. So I have songs that's parked. Some songs from big artists too.
Yeah.
Parked. Because it's just not the time.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need to have something as a backup.
Right.
Because something could take off now and you have production sitting there, so you could still roll out content.
Yeah.
Now, when we're talking, obviously we spoke about the 1 o'clock rhythm, the bashment soca component, and you getting into that phase now. Talk about you understanding that there's a bigger soca picture and taking your production to different islands now or trying to switch up your vibe.
Because I understand that there's about to be a shift. So it's just like anything, you know, in the world, you got to understand the current, you know. So I'm always, again, spiritual, right? Your whole setup has to be that.
Right.
So I'm always thinking like 10 steps ahead, you know, and I play very different.
Right.
I play a lot of weddings. I play a lot of professional events,
right.
Corporate events, different kind of setups,
yeah.
Which allows me to play different music.
Mm.
So that's why I started incorporating different sounds into my music, and then merging it with soca.
Mm-hmm.
I've started that. That's why I did the fusing.
Oh, the fusing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like every island has its niche. Every genre has its niche.
Yeah.
And if we want to play the sport, I would say the music sport,
yeah.
We got to make soca super universal.
Mm.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can sit down with anybody and they're not going to understand the music. They're just not going to understand it.
Yeah.
They're not going to understand the culture.
Right.
You understand? I grew up in the culture. I grew up watching greats.
Yeah.
So that's why I studied greats.
Mm.
But then I say, how can I contribute? What can I do? All you got to do is contribute.
Yeah.
Remember, you're contributing by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm contributing by just doing one thing.
Got it.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Giving them some my energy and my thought process.
Yeah.
All it takes for us to continue to keep contributing to the pot, but also come together.
Absolutely.
If we come together, we win.
Mm-hmm.
If we continue this, I'm over here, you over there thing.
Cat, how could we win?
How could we win?
Yeah.
You see how the Africans roll? They roll in a pack.
Mm-hmm.
And they pack our stadiums in a pack.
Yeah, we could go down the cultural line of many cultures that they roll together.
They roll together.
They shop together.
Right, so if we can figure that part out.
Yeah.
We got something here.
With your music and this podcast, anybody doing stuff like that?
Yeah, and just think outside of the box with the music, you know?
Mm.
It doesn't always have to be because soca is so many different pieces, but we have to just merge it together correctly.
Right.
You understand? Because super fan of the USVI.
Yeah, yeah,
Dominican,
yeah.
Dominica.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I'm sorry, Dominica and...
All of them.
I'm huge.
Huge fan of Bouillon.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I take that in a room, they're just not going to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the best. That's hard.
Yeah.
This is off the hook. But it's the rooms, because you know, when I hang out with my hip-hop friends, they're like, yo, that's... They call it ting, ting, ting music.
Yeah.
And I feel like... I feel a way when they say that.
Yeah.
You know, because they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you take them to a carnival, then they understand.
Yeah, they get it now.
So why is it only carnival time that people understand?
Mm.
We need to figure out how to make everybody understand it year-round. So we got to keep releasing. Don't worry about... I don't worry about...
Carnival. Yeah.
I just release.
Yeah. Which you is understand? How it's done. It's how it needs to be done.
That's what I'm saying. Because dancehall does it.
Yeah.
They drop every
right
day,
through.
Though.
Yeah, 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 right through.
Especially, yeah. You can't keep up. I'm like, okay. Sometimes, especially up here, I went to a party. Bro, I did not understand what was happening. I was just like, yo, I feel like I'm in little Jamaica.
Yeah.
And it was in Orlando the other day.
Yeah.
Then I went to one in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
A spot off.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, yo, what are they playing? Because so much rhythm's released and they're on top of it. So maybe we need to release more.
Definitely, I would say so. So when we're talking, like, for instance, the Jollof rice rhythm, I believe.
That's R&B. It started off as an R&B.
What?
It started, no, because it started off... I'm talking about... A different rhythm. Sorry, we'll get back into that.
We'll get,
that's the one with lyrical. Effect can over. I'll get to that story.
Oh, yes.
But Jollof Rice, I was in the studio with Marsville and Sir Fingers.
Yeah.
He's one of the best keyboardists.
Mm.
Right? He's the one that's the keyboardist for, I believe, Mr. Killer now. He is actually, so he was in the studio. I made the beat.
Yeah.
The drums, everything.
Yeah.
What I do with him, right?
Right.
I just tell him, just so play, go, just play.
Yeah.
So he just be playing. And then after he would go outside and talk to Marsville,
mm-hmm.
I then cut up.
Yeah.
I cut that up.
Mm.
By the time they came in, it was like, oh.
It's already done.
And then we just said, so Mars was like, hola, gala, and Jukshi.
Yeah.
Jukshi, Jukshi. That's how it started.
Right.
And then it went into, hola, gala, and Jamshi. And then we just started cooking. That's we was amazing. In the studio till 5 something that morning. No, 6. The sun was up.
Yeah. Wow. So if I'm not mistaken, that was your trying to bridge Bashment with Trini?
That was my trying to get into that market.
Right, yeah.
The groove.
Look at that.
That was the first attempt at, because everybody know me for, you know, Gas It Up, the whistling drums and the Bashment.
Yeah.
But that was my attempt and it worked.
Now I gotta hear this story.
Yeah.
You said Fat Cat Over was supposed to be R&B, or like originally that beat was supposed to be R&B.
Yeah, because the start of it was doom 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 doom. I did the melody. Then I sent it to Moto.
Yeah.
Moto sent it to Elmo, and Moto and Elmo sent me back some more elements.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the ukulele. That's all right. So Elmo played the what is it called? Am I saying that correct?
Yeah, ukulele.
Yeah, Elmo played the ukulele, and then he sent it to Moto, and Moto sent it to me, and I was like, "That's it, bro.
Yeah.
Gone." That's the cook up on that.
Crazy.
Because Moto wanted to do a song on, you know.
On R&B.
Wow. Oh, no, just a song on the rhythm. And then I let Lyrical hear it. And I'll get to that story if you want.
Yeah.
I don't want to streamline
it. We here. I know y'all want to hear it, so we here.
Nah, so Lyrical came to work on The Sweetest Rhythm.
Mm.
Look, she there, right there.
Mm-hmm. Bad rhythm, bad.
Right. Yeah. So he was recording his song on that.
Yeah.
Done, called the Uber. So while the Uber is on the way, I just turned up the other beat.
Yeah.
And he was just like this. Canceled the Uber. He said, Spider, turn that up.
Yeah.
I turn it up, and then because the Sweetest studio was set up, my sister is above, and we couldn't turn it up that loud.
Right.
So we jumping up in the studio, and he's saying, "I just wanna get this feeling," and we jump in. Like this, you hear?
Yeah.
Because we can't jump too hard.
Uh-huh.
Two people in the studio, sweating, jumping up, singing Fat Can Over.
What?
Over and over and over. Why you think the song doesn't have as much lyrics?
Yeah.
It's just Fat Can Over.
Huh.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So the vibe is just there. And then he took it back to the studio with him and Wildfire, and then they cooked it up.
Yeah.
Send it back.
That's crazy.
And that was it.
I love hearing these stories about behind the songs we love so much. Now I said I would say 1 o'clock Rhythm, your biggest.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that was my favorite story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now let's get into my favorite song. I have to hear about Down Day, because there's not many songs in my time of doing this, 17 years, that have made me feel the way Down Day felt.
Mm-hmm.
And the song, I'm talking like in the ballpark of a what list, Fast Wine. That was in that category.
So what was happening? I was actually in a down moment. I didn't have no vibes. I was just going through just a moment.
Yeah.
You know, just one of them moments. Everybody has them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was my moment. So I was smoking cigars, hanging out with my cousin in Canarsie one day.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to so much Haitian music from his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I said like this. Laugh. I called up every Haitian friend you could think of. Every Haitian, called up Stacks, I called up Sparks, I called up Royale. Called up a couple of my Haitian friends and said, I need a Haitian musician. Mm. Now, my friend Chaz called me back and said, I got you. Mm. This another DJ.
Go ahead.
And he sent me my keyboardist. When my keyboardist sent me back, because at that point, I'm already hunting. I already got the skeleton of the beat. Because remember, when it hit me, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. I don't hang out no more.
Yeah.
I lock up. Remember, I told you how I am.
Yeah.
Lock up, close the studio. Nobody could talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I cooked up the beat. That's why I'm hunting for the musician, because I needed the element to get the approval from the Haitian community. You cannot do that kind of record without having some Haitian element, compa element, right? So the keyboardist said, you heard it. Once I got that, I was good.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not getting into too much of.
I want to hear it all.
Right. Okay. Good.
I want to hear it all.
So now I got the key elements, right, for the beat. And I'm sitting on this beat for a minute. And none of my Haitian friends, I called and I was like, yo, I need y'all to just say a Haitian thing in the beginning, like something, you know, to reflect and give homage, you know, so I could pay homage to the Haitian community.
Right.
Because I want the stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, I'm in my garage one day and again, watching sports. My neighbors came up to me and it was like, yo, I'm not hearing music. I'm not hearing any vibes. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I shut the garage. Went in the basement.
Yeah.
Started going through Instagram. Scrolling. Watching all the girls walking up. Just simply scrolling.
Yeah.
And every scroll is like girls dancing. And I was like, why not go down there? I can't. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing the entire song.
What?
What's he singing? Yeah, got your me. Yeah, the way you move. Yeah,
that was
the
all way you.
I wrote it. Every
what?
Single the way you're whining. You know,
you get that
right?
Because that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I wrote every single word.
Yeah.
And GBM didn't change anything.
What?
He didn't change anything, even to the point of the beginning part.
Yeah.
Turn me up in a headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
The demo, everything.
So you're the mastermind. That's but he did it real justice.
He did.
Knocked it out.
Not
the park.
Just justice.
That's what I say. He knocked
that
it out.
That was
the park.
A knockout.
Yeah,
that was
it.
That's my brother, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, to have and it's interesting. If I told you he had me on ice for like 2 years.
Wow.
Right. 2 years. I've been trying to reach you through GBM.
That's crazy.
So this is what I like to tell these stories, because a lot of people think that, you know, just because you're doing things that everybody got to be in their right space. And one day he just hit me up out of the blue. He probably was just finally going through his
DMs.
Yeah. You know, I got people trying to reach me for years that I never really. And some people that I see passed away.
Yeah.
And then I go to, you know, look at it. And then I saw that they reached out to me. It breaks my heart.
That's,
you get what I mean?
Yeah,
but
that's a fact.
I can't get to everything.
Yeah.
But when he got back to me, we then started connecting.
Mm.
I sent him probably 10, 20 beats.
I can see why.
He chose that one.
Yeah.
He chose the other ones that you hear, Tricks.
Yeah.
All them. So I wrote all those other ones too.
Wow.
I wrote the sweetest girl of mine.
Yeah.
I wrote some a lot of stuff for Mars. A lot of stuff. I'm just like a ghost writer now.
Yeah.
Because I realize what it is, and artists has, especially creatives such as GBM. GBM is a creative. He's a producer as well.
Yeah.
So he also has his own stuff. So in his mind, let me try something different.
Right.
That's a dangerous artist. Anybody that's willing to say, you know what? Let me try something different.
Right.
Plus, you have your own stuff.
Yeah.
Look at what he's doing now. Go down.
Yeah.
You got your own stuff going, and then you also allowing yourself to work with like Just Jay and different people.
Yeah.
It's gonna make you more. So big up to GBM, definitely.
Definitely.
For giving me the opportunity to showcase.
Yeah.
My talent.
And one thing you brought up through that amazing story, mm-hmm. one thing you brought up through that was like the heartbreak of seeing messages of people passing away.
Yeah.
In the lane of talking about passing away, I know you guys worked on the remix with, pardon me if I mispronounce his name, Mika Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And rest his soul, he passed away
You
know, after the launch of that project.
Yeah.
So talk about working with him and...
It was amazing. He is an amazing producer.
Yeah.
Artist. Musician, engineer, he's just that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and to work with somebody that just has so much talent,
yeah.
raw talent. We was talking about doing so many different things.
Mm.
And to see what happened to him, what happened, it was heartbreaking. Again, I was in the garage again when that I found out. Just sitting down watching sports. And then my friend texted me and said, Mika Ben just passed away.
Yeah.
And I said, what? And then that was it for me. I called GBM and we was just talking and we just did a prayer.
Jeez.
You know, and then...
It's tragic.
Yeah, and I speak to his brother often.
Yeah.
And I'm actually... He sent me a song.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a song from him. And I also have some work that he did for me, for my album. I have an album.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's
done.
Coming, it's actually done.
It's done?
Yeah, I'll let you hear some stuff after.
Exclusive?
Right, yeah, exclusive. Right, good stuff. And I'm singing most of the songs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What? All right.
Listen, I'm not like, you know, I'm no Chris Brown. Yeah. But I can hold a note and do something. So it's almost like, you know, you get so used to sending like so much demos.
Yeah.
It's like, I got hundreds of songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you get so much you used to sending demos. You're like, you know what? Let me just try to put out five of them.
It's natural.
Yeah, let me put out five, and it happened to Kanye West. It happened to all of us. Like you're so deep into it, you just start doing it.
You realize you could hold a note, and then you try your thing, but you shouldn't confine somebody to one thing just because you may be amazing at that. Why can't you do it?
Right.
Anything?
Well, let me try something.
Yeah.
I might try it.
Imagine if he stopped. Imagine if you stopped.
Right.
Imagine if Ding Dong stopped.
Mm-hmm.
When they said, nah, they're just a this.
Yeah, and look at everybody.
Exactly.
Remember, look at GBM.
Favorites.
GBM is a producer.
Mm-hmm.
He went into the artists. You have so much DJs that went into it. So everybody's just trying their thing.
Exactly, and why not? We only have one life to live.
Right.
That one thing could be it.
Buzz, try your thing.
Yeah.
try your thing.
Last few questions here, and let's switch gears a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
DJing, producing, writing.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite and why? I know, it's a tough one.
Oh, man. All right. For me to sit down with you in front of a camera, I don't know how many people are going to watch this. I'm not choosing one over the other.
Good point.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all together. Mm. It's all married together.
Hmm.
Because one helps the other.
Yeah.
Everything helps because when one is up, one is down, everything helps you. I'm not going to sit on camera ever and say I like one over the other.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I can't.
Down the road, somebody might take that.
Yeah, and say, and then pigeonhole you to, that's what you do.
You love it all.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about, you know, DJing and now that you have productions. Obviously, there may be an obligation to run your stuff in the set, but talk about that dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's not fitting for that moment, are you still gonna force it and play?
No.
No?
So Nah. But again, I'm gonna squeeze it in.
Yeah.
If I can.
Got it.
But guess what? I bet you two other DJs gonna do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
In their slot.
Yeah, facts.
If I go into the party right now and it's five people,
yeah,
I'm going to play for five people.
Mm.
And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I go into the party, if the party is not ready for a certain set,
right.
You know, man, I'm going to give them a early, nice vibe set and
nice
and juggle and set it up for the next DJ. It's not, I'm not that kind of DJ.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
I'm not into the hype. I already did what I did
yeah.
in this space.
Yeah.
In this, whether you like it or not, I've made sure I stamped my,
there's undeniable.
My name in the game.
Undeniable.
And I was surprised you didn't ask me why I added my tag.
You know what's crazy? Hold on,
because
we're
getting to the stamp part.
That literally just came into
my
head.
I'm like, I'm surprised you didn't ask me that.
No. That just came in my head, but I have it listed on the notes.
Oh, okay.
That as a DJ, and I'm sure all the DJs watching this would love this.
Yeah,
question.
Because they're like, well, why he got his DJ?
When I download these records, I'm always seeing an X and then DJ whoever.
Yes.
A lot of times you are the pioneer of that in that recent time. Talk about the thought process behind that and why you do it.
Good question.
Yeah. I was asking it anyway, so it's crazy.
There being a fit, I was standing in the middle of Crapover. Can you imagine every single truck passing is playing that one record?
Mm.
I like girls. I know. And I'm standing there. And everybody walked past me.
Wow.
Everybody walked past me. And I'm like, from my basement to every single truck. My eyes is closed. I'm just putting myself right in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And I stood there and I saw every truck. I look left, I look right, and the trucks was blazing the record. Nobody knew who the hell I was. I stood there, no one knew who the hell I was. It's okay. It's okay, right?
Yeah.
I said, never again will I put out a record without also marketing my brand. Mm. Because your brand is all you have.
Wow.
DJ Buzz is all you have.
Yeah.
That's what pays your bills. Mm. So artists now will go on interviews, will go everywhere in the world, travel, dub plates, do everything.
Mm.
Nobody would never know.
Yeah.
The engineer. Everybody's together. Everybody worked on this together. So I said, wait a second. DJ Mustard, y'all wouldn't get mad to play DJ Mustard record. Y'all wouldn't get mad to play DJ Khaled. Y'all wouldn't get mad to play Metro Boomin. All these hip-hop guys are making sure they stamp
their
work.
People are aware. You know, of what they did.
And guess what? No, you can't tell me one soca DJ that will go on a hip hop set and have a problem playing their record.
Right.
Why would you ever have an issue playing somebody that's in your lane that you can actually call up?
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so that's why I was like, nah, we also, not just because I'm a DJ, I'm also a producer too. And if y'all could play Khaled and their records, I'm also want to brand myself, because your brand is all you have, bro. Your brand is all you have. And if you brand yourself, I could sit down at home and make money. Mm. I can sit at home and make money if I brand my name.
Right.
So now while I'm home playing with my son,
residuals.
I have residual income because I branded myself.
That's amazing. And that's a huge gem.
You got to brand yourself.
Because a lot of people too, like for exactly what you're saying, a lot of people would say, like, for instance, Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. I saw a quote from him where he said, somebody braced him on that and said, well, why everything got to be Tyler Perry this? Tyler Perry presents, Tyler Perry studio. Why are you so full of yourself? But he's like, does Walt Disney apologize for slapping their stuff on everything? And that's a huge
brand. That's what I'm saying. I got
it. Like, you need to do that.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
So. And then again, if it's in the DJ or in the artist section of the song. Mm-hmm. You could go in Serato and clean it out if you want.
Do whatever,
but regardless,
you want. Do whatever you
saw
want.
It.
Do whatever you want. But when I go on Spotify and mm-hmm. Apple Music,
yeah.
I want people to know mm-hmm. who I am as well.
Yeah.
Because I get paid when I market my brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
It's all marketing.
Got it.
Just like your hat, right?
Yeah.
That's your brand,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And you're making sure, we branding. We're here sitting down here, right?
Exactly.
So we're branding.
Brandon.
At all times, you must be branding. That's just how I look at it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's a product. That's one of my products.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to artists, and you've worked with some of the best,
mm-hmm.
who is somebody you haven't worked with that you would love, and maybe a few people that you would love to work with?
You know what? I would love to work with two artists. Mm. Marshall Montano and Kes.
Marshall and Kes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
You know,
well, it's
funny?
Out there. It's
no,
out there.
No, but you know what's funny? Because Marshall saw me at the awards, the Caribbean Music Awards. He's like, Spider, I know. But he said, time in. I said like this.
Yeah.
But guess what?
It took GBM 2 years.
But listen, you're right. But again, time in. But guess what? I won an award.
Yeah. Look at that.
The same night you were honored.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, is you just don't worry about an opportunity that may have slipped you, because it may come when, he, like he said, timing.
Right.
But he's one of the artists I would love to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So award winning. Talk about winning that award.
Oh, man, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing because, I mean, it's the first.
Yeah,
it's the first.
The first of its kind.
Yeah.
Look
and
at that.
And I won it. And I was the first to win the Bashman Soca competition, too. So, I mean, when it comes to first, even if I don't win tomorrow, at least I'm back first.
Yeah.
So I could always say.
At least.
So, again, brand yourself to put yourself in history.
Mm.
You know, at the end of the day, if I say tomorrow, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And I just want to go home and play with my son. I could say
you should be afforded that opportunity.
Yeah, I could say I've done some good stuff.
Mm.
You know,
very good stuff. Yeah. You've done a lot of good stuff. You've done a lot of my favorite songs,
mm-hmm.
and I rate your career.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I am a bit wary about is your name, because I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us, where did you get that name?
Which one?
DJ Spider.
Oh,
I don't like them.
All right. Yo, listen.
Where you get that name?
Hear this story.
I was worried about doing this.
No. Hear this story. In high school, I went to Tilden High School, right?
Yeah.
There was this guy. He was clashing me, right?
Mm.
He beat me in a clash in the lunchroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So he said, them coming, the bad boy danger, that's because the... And then the whole lunch was like, hey, hey, hey. And I was just like this.
Yeah.
So I went home.
Yeah.
Went in the dictionary, went looking, because I was short. I'm still short.
Yeah.
You know, but I was short in high school. So I said, what is small but still... dangerous.
Mm.
Nah, Scorpio, nah. Spider.
Mm.
So I came back, I wrote my lyrics. So I counteracted, because back in the day I was into clashing.
Yeah.
I wasn't into soca, you know.
No.
I was into the dancehall clashing stuff. At ease.
Yeah.
You know, Soul Supreme and LP and Earth Ruler. And I was into that. Stone Love and Bass Odyssey, that kind of stuff.
Look it up.
That's my kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm there and I said, them call me never. So I counteracted his song.
Mm.
Went back to the classroom again. So he sang the same song again. So then I said, them call me the bad boy spider. Just because spider is the little predator. Them call me the bad boy spider. And I went all for walls. Everybody, hey, in the lunchroom. Now, the soccer team, I was hanging out with a lot of the soccer team.
Mm.
You know, once they call you something, the Caribbeans in high school, once they call you something, that's it, you know.
Mm.
And that name stuck with me since that clash with Danger.
That's crazy.
And I don't want to give the years. It was a long time ago.
We won't do that to you. Spider, man. amazing interview.
Yeah, man.
Once again, we're here in Tampa, Florida. We're both on some gigs out here.
Mm-hmm.
We're enjoying our time in the hot sun.
Yeah,
and of course, we're here at the Chic Beauty Collective Establishment, and they set this whole interview up. They also set the interview up with Jelani Hunt.
That one
we recorded yesterday. Amazing.
Good interview, man.
So go and check that one. We also have a podcast with DJ Jell and many more that you guys are absolutely going to love and learn from. Because that's the point of this podcast, right? The Up From Here podcast. I want to bring people like you, monsters in the game that have had stories and have stories to share that people could learn from. So they don't necessarily have to touch the stove to know it's hot.
You know what I'm saying?
We're building that business aspect of what we do, because it's not just drinking and whining. And there's a lot more that goes behind this. And I appreciate you for being here and sharing
this. And thank you for having me.
Yes.
And I really appreciate you. This was great.
Vibes.
And it feels good to just tell your story.
Exactly.
You know? And big up to all the artists who work with me, and I have a lot of relationships with the artists. You can imagine growing up listening to these artists, and then now you can just call them on the phone and just say, I wrote a song for you.
And they pick it up.
And they pick it up and go. So it's an honor to work with greats. And great musicians and great producers. And I got to big up my engineers while I'm here. Parry Jack.
Yeah,
he's like my go-to engineer. I also have Andrew Denny.
Yeah,
you know, those guys are kind of like the back-end guys that make me successful. So you can't just sit down here and not big up the people
that's absolutely
behind the scenes. So and I definitely appreciate you for having me. This has been great. But anyway,
Spider, my brother, appreciate it.
Thank
amazing
you,
interview, a lot to learn, and I'm looking forward to watching your journey.
Yeah, man. Thank you. All right,
people, another episode of the Up From Here podcast, and we out.
Peace. Up From Here podcast, DJ Spider, I'm here. Boom, 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 boom. All right.